else looks like, okay? VOA One the Hits. Take a look and...
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Katie Weaver. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak slowly, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, Brian Lynn joins us with a look at Neuralink, a technology company owned by billionaire Elon Musk. Then, Ana Mateo is here with words and their stories. We discuss yet another cleaning expression. After that, you will hear Kelly Jean Kelly with the next part in our series on America's presidents. But first, here's John Russell.
The seventh planet from the sun, Uranus, is a world surrounded by mystery. Seen up close just once nearly 40 years ago by a passing NASA spacecraft, the planet still guards many secrets. But new observations are providing a fuller understanding of its atmosphere. These observations, made from a telescope located in New Mexico, include the detection of a polar cyclone whose center measures a quarter of Earth's diameter. Uranus is a kind of planet known as an ice giant, like its planetary neighbor Neptune. Scientists were able to look more deeply into the atmosphere of Uranus than ever before. And the findings painted a picture of a planet that is more unusual than previously known. Alex Akins of NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California was the lead writer of the research published in Geophysical Research Letters. While Neptune and Uranus are similar, Akins said Uranus has some pretty unique features. It spins on its side, and even then, its magnetic field is still misaligned with its rotational axis. The atmospheric circulation and internal heat release appear weaker than Neptune, but there are still a range of features and storms that have been observed, Akins added. Uranus is the third largest planet in our solar system. It has a diameter of about 50,700 kilometers and is big enough to fit 63 Earths inside it. Uranus orbits the Sun at a distance of about 2.9 billion kilometers, almost 20 times further than Earth does. One orbit lasts 84 years. Its unusual tilt makes Uranus appear to orbit the Sun like a rolling ball. The researchers used the Very Large Array Telescope in New Mexico to see below the clouds at the top of the atmosphere. They found moving air at the North Pole that was warmer and drier, evidence of a strong cyclone. Researchers were able to estimate the size of the storm's center, but not the entire cyclone's diameter. It is possible that the cyclone was wider than Earth. The research suggested that polar cyclones exist on many bodies in our solar system. All the planets except Mercury and Saturn's moon Titan. Uranus's only close meeting with a spacecraft came when Voyager 2 flew by in 1986. There are a lot of unknowns, Akins said about Uranus. How did it get tilted on its side? Is its interior really icier than the gas giants Jupiter and Saturn? Why is the pole so much drier than the equator? Are its satellites ocean worlds? I'm John Russell.
Thank you.
The American technology company Neuralink has received U.S. government approval to test its brain implant device in humans. The approval came from the Food and Drug Administration, or FDA. Neuralink says the FDA's approval will permit the company to expand its current testing program involving animals. Neuralink is owned by American billionaire Elon Musk. He also owns several other companies, including Tesla, SpaceX, and Twitter. The coin-sized device is designed to be placed inside the skull. Small wires connect it directly to the brain. The implant contains a small computer that is built to communicate with the brain. This lets it control operations in the body. Neuralink has said the technology is designed to treat brain disorders and help spinal cord injury victims regain body movement. It might also be able to help blind people see again. Musk has said he believes the device could also be used to improve intelligence, to help humans keep up with supercomputers and artificial intelligence technology. Neuralink said in a statement that the FDA approval was an important first step for the technology. "We are excited to share that we have received the FDA's approval to launch our first in-human clinical study," Neuralink said on Twitter. Neuralink said it had not yet started the process of choosing human subjects to test the implants on. Musk spoke about the technology during a presentation last December. He said the company had been working hard to be ready for our first human implant. He added that the company wanted to be extremely careful and make sure the implant works well before putting a device in a human. During the presentation, Neuralink showed several monkeys playing simple video games and controlling a computer with use of the Neuralink implant. The company has also tested the device on pigs and sheep. Reuters news agency has reported on the company's animal experiments in the past. Some Neuralink employees told Reuters last year that the company had made mistakes in animal operations. They said the mistakes came because the process was hurried. This led to more animal deaths than necessary, the employees said. Neuralink tested the implant on animals in hopes of producing data that would help the company gain FDA approval for human testing, the employees told Reuters. In one 2021 case reported by Reuters, the company implanted 25 out of 60 pigs with the wrong-sized devices. All the pigs were later killed. Employees told the news agency that such mistakes could have been easily avoided with more preparation. Reuters said it reached out to both Neuralink and Musk for comments on its reports. Neither answered the requests for comments. The Department of Transportation is separately looking into Neuralink, Reuters reported. The department's investigation centers on whether the company illegally transported dangerous pathogens on devices removed from monkey brains without following effective containment measures. Neuralink is also under investigation by the U.S. Department of Agriculture's USDA Office of Inspector General, the news agency said. That investigation is looking into possible animal welfare violations and the USDA's oversight of Neuralink. Several other companies are also working on devices to link the brain to computers. One of them is New York-based startup Synchron. It announced in July it had completed its first brain-computer implant, called an interface, in a human. Rajesh Rao is co-director of the Center for Neurotechnology at the University of Washington. After Musk's presentation last year, Rao said he does not believe Neuralink is ahead of other companies in developing brain-computer interfaces. But he said he does think the company is quite ahead in hardware development of the devices. I'm Brian Lynn.
And now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. On this program, we explore words and expressions in the English language. We give examples, notes on usage, and sometimes we use them in short conversations. What do you say when something is so spotless, so perfect, so new, and so clean? In American English, we can say, "It is as clean as a whistle." We often use this expression to talk about our physical spaces. After we clean our office, we can say it is clean as a whistle. Our home can also be as clean as a whistle. If you have a car, the inside of it can be, you guessed it, clean as a whistle. But it is harder to keep the outside of a vehicle clean as a whistle. As you might have noticed, sometimes we add as to the beginning, and sometimes we don't. We can use this expression to describe other things, too. For example, if you have never been in a car accident, you can say that your driving record is as clean as a whistle. If your school record is clear of any problems or issues, you can say it is as clean as a whistle. And if your elected leader is not involved in corruption or any other wrongdoings, you can say she is as clean as a whistle. Like many of our English expressions and idioms, the origin of clean as a whistle is unclear. Some word experts say it comes from the sound of a whistle, which is clear and sharp. Other experts suggest that clean as a whistle comes from drinking alcohol. When you finished your drink and your glass was empty, it was said to be clean as a whistle and needed to be refilled. Now let's hear the expression used between two friends.
Did you hear about Wanda? She's been fired.
Wanda, are you sure? Her work record is as clean as a whistle. To my knowledge, she has never missed a deadline. And all her projects come in under budget.
That's true, but she got caught working for another company.
So, many people have a second or even a third job.
Yeah, but not at the same time. She was working her other job while getting paid by our company.
Oh, that's different. How do people have the time and energy to even think about doing that?
I don't know. I barely have the energy to finish my work for this job.
And that's the end of this Words and Their Stories. Practice using this idiom in your next English conversation. Until next time, I'm Ana Mateo.
Thank you, Ana. I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to the Learning English broadcast. We're joined now by Ana Mateo. Ana and I have been talking a lot lately about cleaning, and today is no different. Ana, thanks for joining us. Can you remind our listeners about today's expression?
Thanks, Dan. I'm glad to be here. Sure, today's expression is clean as a whistle. People use this idiom when they are talking about things that are really clean.
That's right. My car was clean as a whistle about 2 weeks ago, but today, not so much. Did you discover any surprising stories when preparing this week's episode?
Actually, what I found is this. Many times the origins, or how an expression or idiom begins, is unknown. We can guess about the origin, but we really can't know for sure. And the origin of clean as a whistle is debated.
Ana, it's funny that we use so many phrases without really knowing where they come from. Maybe everyone should listen to the Learning English broadcast so they can learn a little bit more about the language.
You're right, Dan. Everyone should listen. But you know, many times our listeners offer their own knowledge about English. Many have been studying English for a very long time. But getting back to our idiom, I usually use clean as a whistle to describe a room or vehicle. For some reason, I don't use it to describe clothing, for example. But that's just me.
Well, we know it has to do with things that are clean, even people. I think the first time I heard this phrase was in a television commercial for a soap called Irish Spring. The advertisement featured people whistling, and one character saying he was fresh and clean as a whistle at the end.
I barely remember that advertisement, Dan. I think the whistle went something like this. I am not a good whistler.
Good one, Ana. That's pretty close. Thanks for joining us today, and thanks for that blast from the past.
You're welcome, Dan.
VOA Learning English presents America's Presidents. Today we are talking about James Buchanan, the 15th President of the United States. He was the third in a series of unsuccessful presidents. Millard Fillmore and Franklin Pierce had failed to resolve the country's increasing division over slavery. Democratic Party officials hoped Buchanan could do better. After all, he was a gifted lawyer and had been a member of the U.S. Congress, a Secretary of State, and a diplomat. But Buchanan was not so sure he could resolve the country's problems. He was right. He was the last president before the American Civil War. James Buchanan was born in the northern state of Pennsylvania. His father was a businessman, and his family was financially successful. Buchanan, the oldest son in a family with 11 children, received a good education. He attended Dickinson College in Pennsylvania and soon began working as a lawyer. His abilities earned him a good deal of money and a place in the state's legislature, but they were not able to win him a wife. As a young man, Buchanan fell in love with and proposed marriage to a young woman from a wealthy family. She accepted, but her father opposed the union. One day, his fiancée wrote Buchanan a letter saying she had reconsidered and decided not to marry him after all. 3 days later, she unexpectedly died. Buchanan was heartbroken. He promised never to marry anyone else, and he did not. To date, James Buchanan is the only U.S. president who never married. When he entered the White House, his niece served as his first lady. Even with problems in his personal life, Buchanan went on to have a strong career as a national politician. He hoped his party would nominate him as its candidate for president. But in the 1840s and early 1850s, the Democrats nominated other candidates. Finally, in 1856, the party chose Buchanan. But by then, he was no longer sure he wanted to be president. He believed the country would soon be at war. Violence had already broken out in the western territory of Kansas. White settlers there had clashed over whether Kansas would enter the Union as a slave or free state. In one dramatic event, an anti-slavery activist named John Brown had murdered several pro-slavery settlers. President Buchanan had clear ideas about slavery. He said in his inaugural speech that voters in the territories, a group made up of white men, should be able to decide the issue for themselves. In the same speech, Buchanan urged Americans to support an important Supreme Court ruling that became known as the Dred Scott decision. 2 days later, the court's justices announced the majority opinion in that case. The opinion said the federal government did not have the power to control slavery in the territories. In addition, the court declared that enslaved people were not U.S. citizens. They were property, it said. Enslaved people did not have any more rights than a horse or a chair. Buchanan hoped the decision would stop the country's debate over slavery. Instead, it made the debate even more intense. During his presidency, Buchanan took two other actions that increased tensions and damaged his public image. First, he tried to persuade Congress to accept a state constitution for Kansas. The Constitution permitted slavery, although a majority of Kansas voters had not agreed to it. The U.S. House of Representatives decided not to follow President Buchanan's wishes. They permitted Kansans to vote again on the Constitution. This time, Kansas voters rejected it. A majority agreed instead to seek admission into the Union as a free state. Buchanan's image also suffered because of an event known as the raid on Harper's Ferry. The raid was led by John Brown, the anti-slavery activist who had murdered pro-slavery settlers in Kansas. This time, Brown hoped to create an armed rebellion of anti-slavery activists and freed slaves. To get weapons, Brown and his men attacked a federal arsenal about 110 kilometers northwest of Washington, D.C. The armory was in the town of Harper's Ferry, in today's state of West Virginia. President Buchanan answered the raid by permitting federal troops to use force. The U.S. Marines surrounded Brown and his forces. They killed some and captured others, including Brown. A few weeks later, Brown was brought to trial, found guilty, and hanged. The event further divided Americans. Anti-slavery Northerners believed Brown was a hero. Pro-slavery Southerners believed he was a traitor. In general, Buchanan agreed with the Southerners. He said in a speech that Northerners should not tell Southerners what they could do in their states. But his words did not satisfy either side. For one thing, a main issue was whether slavery should be permitted in any new states. Buchanan did not comment on that point. At the end of his single term, Buchanan kept an earlier promise not to seek re-election. His party did not urge him to. Instead, Northern Democrats and Southern Democrats split. They nominated two different candidates. The Democrats' lack of unity provided an opening for a candidate from a new party. The Republican Party was comprised of Northerners who were against slavery. Their candidate was a lawyer without much experience in government. His name was Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln won the presidential election of 1860. In answer, the southern state of South Carolina withdrew from the Union. Buchanan, who was in the last weeks of his presidency, did not support the move. But he did not act to stop South Carolina either. He said the Constitution did not give him the power to force a state to stay in the Union. Following Buchanan's inaction, six other slaveholding southern states also seceded. Today, many historians agree James Buchanan was one of the worst American presidents. Buchanan had many good personal qualities, and he did not want to harm the country. Instead, a common belief is that he did not have the right skills to unite a divided nation. His behavior appeared to be guided by conflicting ideas. Buchanan said he opposed slavery and supported the Union, but he often took actions to protect slavery and help the South. Buchanan largely blamed anti-slavery activists and opposition politicians for the problems during his administration. But the public did not accept Buchanan's position. He was not respected after he left office, and he did not appear in public very often. Instead, the former president withdrew to his home in Pennsylvania until his death in 1868. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And that's the Learning English broadcast for today. Thank you, Kelly, for that report. And thanks to our VOA colleagues for their work on today's program.
Most importantly, thank you for listening. For more, visit our website at learningenglish.voanews.com. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Dan Friedell.